we present Brothers-in-Law by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson, based on the novel by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Brauss with Julia Lockwood, Gene Anderson, and Dennis Ramsden. Episode 8, Good Husband and Father, featuring this week's guest stars, James Hayter and Harold Behrens.
I hate to remind you, Roger, darling, but it's rent day again.
I haven't forgotten, Mother. I've got a check for you here.
Oh, yes, darling. Well, thank you, but,
What's the matter, Mother? You should be pleased to have a tenant who always pays on the nail.
But you always borrow it from me first.
Well, I have to, don't I? Otherwise I couldn't pay you.
I've been trying to work it out, Roger. Of course, I'm hopeless at accounts and things, but isn't there a fallacy in this system somewhere?
No fallacy, no. I get my room and board, and you get your rent once a week.
But the extraordinary thing is, I never seem to be left with any actual money.
Well, nor am I. So we're both in the same boat, aren't we?
But how long can we keep it afloat at this rate?
Mother, please, you must try not to confuse two different issues. The money I give you every week is my contribution to household expenses. Agreed?
Yes, darling, but I never actually get it, do I?
What do you mean? I just given it to you, haven't I?
But that's what I gave you yesterday.
No, sorry, Mother, no. You see, that's where the confusion comes in. You didn't give me anything.
But I did. I distinctly remember.
No, Mother, no. You didn't give it. You lent it.
But it comes to the same thing, doesn't it?
Certainly not. I wish you'd try to look at it logically.
I do try, Roger.
But of course, I know you're only a woman.
I know. I'm terribly sorry.
That's all right. Not your fault.
Do wish your father was still alive.
Well, of course you do, Mother, so do I.
He was a good husband and father.
I'm sure he was, none better.
He'd have explained it all so I could understand. He had such a clear mind.
Like father, like son.
What did you say, Roger?
Look, it's no good looking to the past, Mother. You must learn to rely on me. I'm the brains of the family now. If father was alive today, he'd tell you the same as I do.
And what's that, Roger?
I forget. Oh, yes, I know, yes. Yes, what I know, yes. Perfectly simple. Look, if you look at it this way, the money I give you every week is yours to spend as you like. And the money you give me every week is yours too.
But not to spend.
No, Mother, it's money you're saving.
But I don't want to save it.
But you ought to. Everybody ought to save, you know. Look upon it as money well invested.
Invested in what, Roger?
In a gilt-edged security. My future.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll try explaining that to the tradesman.
What tradesman?
Well, you know, the usual ones. The butcher, the baker, the...
Mother, you haven't been buying candles on credit, have you?
Well, not yet, darling, but I may have to if they cut off the electricity. Roger, darling, when do you think I can expect any return on my investment?
As a matter of fact, any time now. I've got a case pending.
Oh, darling, why didn't you tell me before? A lovely fat brief.
No, not that sort of case, Mother. An action that I'm bringing myself.
Oh, who against?
Mrs. Polgate, the woman who smashed up my car.
Oh, is that wise?
Certainly it's wise. It'll solve all our problems.
Yes.
But of course it will. You remember I was going to sell my car to this chap for £400?
I remember.
And Sally took him out for a demonstration drive, mm-hmm. And this maniac Mrs. Polgate backed into the car and did about £200 of damage.
Yes, but neither of you had more than third-party insurance, had you?
I know, but she's a very rich woman. It was all her fault. She must pay up. Then I'll have the car mended, sell it, pay you what I owe you, and get married to Sally.
But, darling, isn't it terribly expensive going to law?
Not if you win.
But if you lose?
I won't. You can take it from me.
Well, you're a lawyer. I suppose you know best.
But of course I know best. Anyway, I really must be going, Mother. I said I'd pick up Sally at 7:30.
All right, darling. Don't forget your keys.
I won't. Oh, Mother, could you lend me a couple of quid?
Roger, you're not short of cash again.
Of course. I just paid my rent, haven't I? Ah, where shall I take you this evening, Sally?
Can you afford to take me anywhere?
Not anywhere, darling. Somewhere. I happen to have a couple of quid.
Keep it, Roger.
What for?
Save it.
But I don't want to save it.
You ought to. Everyone ought to save.
It's funny, someone else said that earlier today. And who was it? Oh, I know, it was me.
It was I.
No, you said it just now. It was me who said it earlier.
All right, Roger, but we were both right, weren't we?
In principle, yes. In practice, what's the good of saving £2?
If you save £2 a week, we might have enough to get married on in about 3 years.
3 years? I can't wait as long as that.
Can't you, Roger?
And even if I could, Mother can't.
Can't what?
Go on forking out. That's an extraordinary thing about my mother, you know. She always seems to be short of money.
What's extraordinary about it? So are you. So am I. So are lots of people.
But not people's mothers.
Certainly people's mothers. If they happen to be widows with grown-up sons living at home and not contributing.
But I do contribute.
Darling, I don't intend to discuss your financial arrangements with your mother.
But you are discussing them.
You may be able to fool her, but you can't fool me.
Sally, you're not accusing me of fooling my mother.
Diddling, then.
Oh, that's different. What do you mean, diddling? I shall repay every penny I borrow from her.
When?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask that. So did she. And the answer is, as soon as I win my case against that maniac woman, Mrs. Polgate.
Oh, Roger, you're not going ahead with that, are you?
Certainly I am. I certainly am. It's the answer to everything. And incidentally, we'd better do something about getting the banns called.
I think we'd better wait and see, Roger.
Wait and see what?
Whether you win the case or not.
Of course I win. That woman was entirely to blame for the damage, wasn't she?
It was only my word against hers.
Well, what about the man you were sending the car to? What's his name? Mr. Foy. He was there.
Yes, and he's so fed up by the whole business, he refuses to have any more to do with it.
Well, what do you want me to do then? Let her get away with it?
If she'll settle out of court for even a fraction of your claim, jump at it. Otherwise, you'll have to write it off to experience.
Well, what else do I have to write off? My car? Our marriage? The money I owe Mother? Some experience. It's not good enough, Sally. I'm seeing my solicitor tomorrow. I shall instruct him to go for every penny and keep fighting till we get it.
Your solicitor being Joy's uncle?
My solicitor being Mr. Merivale of Thornton, Merivale & Co.
That's what I said.
But it's nothing whatever to do with Joy.
No?
Look, I went to old Merivale because he's a first-class firm and he's a first-class man. I'm very lucky to get him.
Yes, I know. I expect he'll keep you on the rail.
Yeah, I expect. What do you mean on the rail? As my solicitor, he will take my instructions.
Come along in, my dear Roger. Sorry to have kept you waiting.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Merivale.
Sit down, my dear boy, and I'll tell you the good news.
You've heard of Mrs. Polgate's solicitor?
I have indeed. Let me see now. You were claiming £180 for damage to your motor car and £70 for expenses necessarily incurred while deprived of its use.
And costs. £250 and costs and not a penny less.
Right, sir. Then you'll be glad to hear they've offered to settle for £150, which, of course, we will accept.
Oh, good. What do you mean, accept?
My dear Roger, I know you haven't had a lot of experience, but I should have thought you knew what accepting an offer meant.
But of course I know what it means, but I'm not accepting this. £150 no good to me.
You'll get a better offer. My advice to you, Roger, is take it and be grateful.
And my instructions to you, Mr. Merivale, are to go for every penny and keep fighting till we get it.
Even though you risk getting nothing and being landed with heavy costs?
But it couldn't happen. It wouldn't be justice.
Then I take it your instructions are to fight the other case, too?
What other case?
I wrote to you about it.
Well, I haven't had any letter.
Well, I expect it'll turn up tomorrow. It concerns an orthopedic surgeon, a Mr. Maxbury.
Maxbury?
I understand he treated you by manipulation for a displaced cervical disc and succeeded in putting it right.
Yes, well, I paid the bill.
Yes, but quite, but that's not the problem. He claims that while he was manipulating, you suddenly assaulted him, grabbed his neck, and caused his own cervical disc to be misplaced.
I didn't assault him.
You mean his story is untrue?
I mean, it wasn't assault. It was self-defense.
Self-defense?
I thought he was going to break my neck.
So you tried to break his?
Yes. No, no. I just wanted to stop him.
But you asked him to treat you by manipulation.
I changed my mind.
Although the treatment was successful?
Ah, well, when I realized that, I changed my mind back again.
What is your defense?
Defense?
To his claim.
What claim?
For medical expenses and loss of earnings while incapacitated, £300.
300?
Don't worry. I've had a word with his solicitor. They'll settle for 200.
But I haven't got £200.
Oh, that's a pity, because if you want me to fight both these cases, it could run you into a great deal more than that.
All right, I give up. Settle.
Spend it. Now, as to my own fees, Roger, I have such faith in your future. I don't mind waiting until it's convenient for you to pay.
Thank you very much, Mr. Merivale.
As to the claims, there'll be £150 for Mrs. Polgate, towards the maximum £200. So, if you'll just let me have a check for the balance of 50.
Ah, yes. Well, it's not very convenient at the moment.
Sorry to hear that, Roger. Don't leave it too long, will you? Say, tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Or the next day. I have a feeling Maxbury won't be very patient.
Tomorrow or the next day, yes. Well, I'll do what I can.
No one can do more than that, can they? What a pity I haven't got a nice little brief marked 50 I could send down to you. But at the moment, I'm afraid there's nothing. Still, I expect something will turn up.
I don't.
What was that?
Nothing.
Good. Well, I'm glad it's all settled, Roger. And don't forget to put that check in the post, will you? Well, goodbye, my dear boy. Goodbye.
Mr. Grimes, Chambers. Alec Blake speaking.
My name's Prendergast, of Prendergast and Company. Might I have a word with Mr. Roger Thursby of counsel?
Mr. Prendergast, did you say, sir?
That is what I said, sir.
I don't think I've had the pleasure of seeing you before, sir.
In other words, Mr. Blake, you have a pleasure in store.
I rather seem to remember your voice, sir.
How about 2:30 this afternoon? Will that do? The client won't be there. He hasn't got bail. Fortunately, I have.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Prendergast. I didn't quite catch that last remark.
Ignore it, sir. It was another case I was thinking of. Very well, then. 2:30 it should be.
No, Mr. Prendergast.
What do you mean, afternoon, Mr. Prendergast.
I mean, no, Mr. Prendergast. Mr. Thursday will not be available at 2:30.
When will he be available, Mr. Blake?
I doubt if he will be at all, Mr. Prendergast.
You amaze me, Mr. Blake. I can hardly believe there is such a continuous demand for his services. I will call at 2:30, Mr. Blake. Goodbye.
Oh, hello, Alex.
Good morning, Mr. Thursday.
Nothing good about it.
I'm sorry to hear that. Having a bit of domestic trouble, are you?
Domestic? That's the least of it. The car will have to wait, mother will have to wait, the wedding will have to wait, but Maxbury won't.
Maxbury?
It's a long story, Alex. Very painful. Don't ask me to tell you, please.
Yeah, I wasn't.
I suppose there isn't any sign of any work coming my way?
Not that you'd want to take on, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, a solicitor client did ring out and ask for you.
He did? That's marvelous. Who is he? Do I know him?
You won't know his name, sir. He's Prendergast, but you do, in fact, know him.
Sir, I'm sorry, I don't understand. I don't know any Prendergast.
You will if you see him.
Well, of course I will, won't I? But you said I knew him already.
You do. If I tell you that you'll open your window as soon as he comes into the room...
Oh, my God! It's not Tewsbury. I can't stand it. I can't bear it. The smell of stale whiskey is enough to make me ill. I can't stand it.
Don't worry, sir. You won't have to. I'll get you out.
Yeah. Come to think of it, I don't want to be out of it. Of course I don't want to be out of it. He's still a solicitor, isn't he? He's still on the rolls?
Oh, yes, sir. And never drunk in charge of a case.
Don't remind me, please. Alex, do you think you could push him up to £50 on the brief?
I could try.
And get him to settle quickly.
I think that would depend on whether his client settled quickly. And that might depend on whether you won the case or not.
In that case, I will win it.
You will?
I must.
But you don't even know what it is yet.
Don't I? No, I don't, do I? What is it?
I don't know myself, except it's a crime of some sort. His client's in prison. Apparently, Tewkesbury celebrated the occasion last night and was pulled in. But he got bail.
Have I sunk as low as this? My only solicitor client on bail.
I could still get you out of it.
No, no, I must have that £50. I'll see Mr. Tewkesbury as soon as he arrives.
Mr. Prendergast.
Now, Alex, you talk to him first about the fee and prompt settlement.
Come in.
He's here.
Have you fixed it?
Yes. The brief is marked 50 and he'll pay in cash.
Cash?
One of his checks some years ago took a little time to collect. The first time, he didn't date it. The second time, he didn't sign it. The third time, the figures were different from the words. So this time, I suggested he might pay cash. And he's agreed, Mr. Thursday. He's agreed.
Good. And on the nail?
As I suspected. That rather depends on his client and whether you get him off or not.
I'll get him off. This is the last thing I do. It'll be the last thing I ever do if I don't.
I beg your pardon.
Not at all. Send Mr. Tewkesbury in.
Mr. Prendergast.
If you insist.
I don't. He does. Mr. Prendergast, Mr. Thursby is free now.
Free? I would hardly call a brief marked 50 free. But be that as it may.
Alec, would you mind opening the window for me?
Quite unnecessary, sir. These little white tablets, sir, prevent even my best friends from having to tell me. That's what you were afraid of, sir, was it not?
Please sit down, Mr. Tewkesbury.
Prendergast, sir.
I'm sorry, Prendergast.
The days when you knew me as Tewkesbury, sir, are gone. Passed over. I'm a new man, sir. Do you like the sound of Prendergast, sir?
It's a lovely name, Mr. Tewkesbury. A Prendergast.
Please don't apologize, sir. I must admit that I do call myself Tewkesbury sometimes in moments of aberration.
So would you like to tell me about your client, Mr. Prendergast?
Why do you think I'm here, sir, not to tell you about him? His name is Bertrand Glossop, sir. Commonly known to his friends as Bertie the Bank.
And what is the charge against him, may I ask?
You may indeed, sir. Why do you think he's called Bertie the Bank?
Does he break into banks?
Nothing so vulgar, sir.
That he forges bank notes?
He is an artist, sir. A real artist. Several judges have said to him that if only he'd devote his obvious talent to legal purposes, he should be able to make a prosperous and honest living. But apparently, sir, he doesn't care for the idea.
Well, then what's the charge against him this time? Forging banknotes?
No, sir, not this time. Uttering forged banknotes. Circulating to you, sir.
But the evidence, Mr. Prendergast, is it strong?
It's as weak as water, sir. In your capable hands, I have very little doubt that he will be acquitted. Indeed, there is only one problem, sir.
And that is?
He is a good husband and father, sir.
Good heavens, another. But anyway, this is splendid. I mean, judges are only human beings. If he is a really good husband and father, the judge will take that into consideration.
And no doubt it will be a great consolation to the client, sir, when the judge says, you're a very wicked man. Normally I would give you 15 years imprisonment, but owing to the fact that I'm satisfied that you are a good husband and father, you should only go to prison for 14 years.
Well, it's better than putting 1 year on.
Oddly enough, sir, although my client has been to prison on a number of occasions for long periods, he enjoys life better outside. He enjoys being a good husband and father.
You know, I'm delighted to hear it. Yes, Mr. Newman. You see, I really don't know what we can do, apart from getting a little off the sentence. But he mustn't come to sentence. I won't let it. I'm going to get him acquitted.
You do not seem to follow me, sir. Do you not note that I said the problem is that he is a good husband and father? Why should this fact militate against us?
Well, I suppose that he's put away a lot of money for his wife and family and the police have discovered it?
Not to my knowledge, sir.
Well, then what is the evidence against him?
Laughable, sir. Ludicrous. He was found in possession of 24 £1 notes. 19 were in his pocket and the 20th he intended in payment for some cigarettes.
And his explanation?
Well, now, have you any £1 notes on you, sir?
Yes, I have, curiously enough. Two.
Now, supposing those notes should turn out to be forged, sir, what would be your explanation?
Well, that I didn't know it.
Precisely, sir. Where did you obtain them?
From my mother.
Your mother, sir?
And I was short cash and I borrowed.
Well, the bank being too far away at the time.
Well, something of the kind.
So you will have a complete defense to a charge of uttering two forged £1 notes because you didn't know the word.
Exactly. Was that the only evidence against Glossop?
Well, not quite, sir. The police went to his house and searched it, and there they found another £31 note, also false.
And his explanation?
Much the same as you gave me about your £2 note, sir. And not that he'd been too far from the bank and had to borrow them. He'd been to a race meeting and won them on a horse, on several horses. And this £50 or so was the result of his successful investment of Pretty Polly, Never Say No, and As You Hear Us. By the way, sir, in parenthesis, I should tell you, I tried to say that last night, but it wouldn't come. As You Hear Us. I can say it all right now.
Yeah, look, the only evidence against him is that he was found in possession of 50 forged £1 notes, which he said he won at the race.
You have it in a nutshell, sir.
Well, they won't be able to prove he didn't win it at the races, will they?
You have it in two nutshells, sir. But as I said, the trouble is that he's a good husband and father and proud of it. And proud of it, sir.
I'm afraid I still don't see how that comes into it at all at this stage. If what you tell me is correct, and he's a reasonable witness, he ought to get off on this charge. He must get off. He will get off. He won't be proved.
Precisely, sir. Now, would your views be affected in this matter if you knew that our excellent husband and father had in the past twice been convicted of forging similar pound notes and that the instrument of forgery was found on his premises?
You mean these pound notes were exactly the same as pound notes he was proved to have forged in the past?
Precisely, sir. Does this affect your personal view of his innocence or guilt?
Yes, I'm afraid it does, frankly. But of course the jury won't be allowed to be told that. The police won't be able to give evidence of his previous conviction. And when he gives evidence, prosecuting counsel won't be allowed to ask him.
But if he were allowed to ask him, sir, do you think that would affect his chances of being acquitted?
I do indeed, Mr. Prendergast. They'd be bound to convict him. Fortunately, they won't know.
And that brings me to the good husband and father, sir. You are no doubt well aware that if an accused person gives evidence of his own good character, he can then be cross-examined about his bad character.
But of course I know that. But our client won't give evidence of his good character. He hasn't got one anyway.
Hasn't he, sir? And won't he, sir? Did I not tell you that he was a good husband and father?
But I shan't say that.
No doubt you won't, sir. But unless we are very careful, he will. He's very proud of the fact. And unless we can prevent him, he will assuredly say it. And you know what will follow. My lord, counsel for the prosecution will say, the prisoner gave evidence that he was a good husband and father. I submit that it touches me to ask him about certain other episodes in his past. And the judge will say, certainly, Mr. So-and-so, ask away. And prosecuting counsel will ask away. And before our client knows where he is, He'd be going down the stairs with the words 14 years imprisonment behind him and a sentence in front of him. And all because he's proud of being a good husband and father.
Yeah, well, then I must see that he doesn't say it. I will say that he doesn't say it.
Quite, sir. And so accordingly, I'm proposing to take you down to Brixton Prison to have an interview with our friend Bertie the Bank for you to impress this old head.
Does he still forge banknotes?
There is no evidence that he forged his notes, sir. The police went home with him hoping that they would find the whole paraphernalia. Paraphernalia there. But all they found, as I told you, were the notes and his wife and two children, who I need hardly tell you, were clean and highly presentable. Our clients being...
If you say it again, I shall scream.
Mr. Glossop, this is your counsel, Mr. Thursby.
How do you do, Mr. Glossop?
As well as one can be in this place.
Well, that's what we've come to see you about, Mr. Glossop. We're going to get you off this charge.
Well, Mr. Prendergast says I've got a good chance.
It's more than a good chance. It's a certainty. It must be.
He said that last time, and I got 7 years.
That was because you wouldn't take my advice, Mr. Glossop.
Oh, I only tell the truth. You want me to tell the truth, don't you, Mr. Thursby?
If you insist. I mean, yes, of course, the truth. Yes.
Well, all I said was the truth. I said I was a good husband and father.
You don't dispute that, do you, Mr. Thursby?
No, certainly not, Mr. Glover.
I may be known as Bertie the Bank, but I'm a good husband and father, and I don't care who hears me say it.
But we do, Mr. Glover.
I've always been brought up to believe that the truth never did anybody no harm.
Yeah, well, it depends what the truth is, Mr. Glover. The truth is, unfortunately, that you have had two previous convictions for forging banknotes, have you not? Hence your name, Bertie the Bank.
Yeah, but I'm a good...
Yeah, I know that. I know all about that. Please.
I'm not ashamed of it.
There's no reason why you should be.
I've a right to be proud of it, haven't I? There are plenty of chaps here who bash their wives and all the rest of it.
You're a horrible thought, Mr. Glossop.
I'm good to my children, I'm faithful to my wife, and I always have been. Even before we were married. She was my only girlfriend. Not many people who can say that, Mr. Thursby, is there?
How many girlfriends have you got?
Two.
I mean one. No, I mean I'm engaged.
Good for you, Mr. Thursby. But I never had more than the one, so why shouldn't I say so?
Quite simply, Mr. Glossop, because if you talk about your good points, the prosecution can talk about your bad ones. And if they do, I'm sorry to say that you've had it, and so have I.
Ah, but being a good husband and father is nothing to do with forging banknotes.
It is in a way, you know.
In what way?
You do agree, I suppose, that there are other good husbands and fathers.
Not as many as they ought to be.
Oh, maybe. But there are some.
Oh, both
some. And some of these good husbands and fathers don't forge banknotes.
There's worse things than that.
Oh, maybe, yes. But some of these good husbands and fathers don't commit any crimes of any sort. If I may say so, there are even better husbands and fathers.
You ask my wife. She'll tell you she couldn't have a better husband.
Look, all I want you to do, Mr. Glossop, is not to volunteer the information about being a good husband and father.
You wouldn't want me to lie about it.
Of course not.
Suppose they ask me.
They won't.
But suppose they do.
Well, if they ask you, you must... tell the truth.
You mean if I tell them I was a bad husband and a bad father, it would be better for me? They'd be more likely to acquit me. I don't see why a jury should want to let me off if they thought that about me.
But there's no need to go into the question at all. If you'd be good enough to leave that side entirely to me, you just deal with where you got the banknote.
Well, you want me to tell the truth about that, I take it, Mr. Thursby?
Truth?
But, yes, of course. And where do you think I got them, Mr. Thursby?
Look, never mind what I think. Just tell the court where you got them.
At the races, my lord.
And did you have a particularly good day?
Oh, yes, my lord.
You're a married man, I understand.
Yes, my lord.
Did you give your wife anything out of the proceeds?
Of course, my lord. Because, you see, my lord, I am a very...
Yes, good... I don't... Mr. Glossop, just to answer his lordship's question, did you buy your wife anything out of the proceeds?
Of course I did. I always do. I'm sure that your lordship would do the same. I'm sure your lordship's a good husband and father.
Behave yourself, Mr. Glossop.
Oh, I didn't know there was anything wrong in being...
Mr. Glossop, don't be impertinent of the learned judge. Now, what did you actually buy your wife?
I hadn't actually bought it her, but I was going to get her some earrings, what she wanted. Then the fuzz arrived and turned the whole place over. She's been a good wife to me, my lord, and I don't see why I shouldn't give her some earrings.
Well, no reason at all, if you were spending your own money.
Well, it was mine. At least I thought so. How did I know them notes were forged? You heard the man from the bank, my lord. He said they were very good forgeries and only an expert could detect them.
Hmm. And you are not an expert, Mr. Grunter. No. You needn't answer that question.
I was going to buy my children some toys as well, my lord, but they locked me up, so I couldn't.
Whenever you win at the races, do you buy your wife and children presents?
If I don't spend it first in the boozer.
You drink, do you?
Something chronic, my lord.
Otherwise, you appear to be a good husband and father. I said, otherwise you appear to be a good husband and father.
What do I say to that, Mr. Percy?
You have to answer the question, Mr. Glossop.
Yes, but how?
Well, tell his lordship the truth.
Well, I'm afraid...
Well, it doesn't really matter, Mr. Thursby. I thought your client might like to answer the question, that's all. It's rather a long way, however, from the question of uttering forged notes. You say you didn't know they were forged.
May I be struck dead if I did. You see, my lord, I'm still all right. I'll say it again. May I be...
No. Don't tempt providence. I once knew a man who fell down in a faint after saying such a thing.
Ah, but he was guilty, wouldn't he? It's safe enough to say if you're innocent.
Now, the simple point is that you say you had no idea that these notes were forged.
That's it, my lord.
Hmm. Is there anything else you want to tell me?
There is, my lord, but my counsel won't let me.
Mr. Thursby, is that right?
Well, my lord, I suppose it is the way, yes.
Well, in what way is it? Did you tell your client to keep something back from the court?
Well, I suppose in a way I did.
Well, it sounds most improper, Mr. Thursby.
Well, it does, my lord, but it isn't.
And why isn't it?
Well, supposing he said he'd like to tell his lordship a few home truths. I'm surely I'd be right to tell him not to do that.
Oh, yes, it was that sort of thing, was it? Yes, he wanted to abuse me, did he?
Certainly not.
Well, then why did you suggest that he did, Mr. Thursby?
My lord, with respect, I didn't. I was simply giving your lordship an example of something it would be right for my client not to say.
Well, he didn't, in fact, want to say anything about me.
No, it wasn't about you, my lord.
It was something improper that he wanted to say, was it?
No, I wouldn't say that. He really wanted to repeat something that your lordship said.
Well, what harm can there be in that?
Well, none at all, my lord, if it can be treated as a remark of your lordship.
What remark of mine?
Well, your lordship said that he appeared to be a good husband and father.
Well, I hope he doesn't take exception to that.
No, my lord, no. If I allowed him, he'd like to agree with your lordship, but I won't allow him.
This must be very mystifying to the jury, Mr. Thursby.
Well, if I may put it this way, if my client were to say that he was a good husband and father, my learned friend might ask him, for instance, if he'd never been unkind to one of his aunts. I think your lordship has before you a list of his relations.
I see what you mean, Mr. Thursby. You must forgive me if I'm being rather slow in the uptake. Well, are there any other questions you'd like to ask? There seems to be precious little evidence against your client.
We've won. I got him off.
So I heard. Well done, Mr. Thursby. Acquitted on all counts.
Yes, indeed.
And I've got some good news for you. Mr. Tewksbury. Oh, I beg his pardon. Mr. Prendergast has paid the brief fee.
Already?
And in cash. I've got it here.
Oh, thank God for that. Alec, do me a favor. Will you go and pay it into my bank when you go out?
Yes, certainly I will. I was just going, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, Alec. Oh, I'm going to post a check to my solicitor, ring up Miss Mannering, offer to take her out and give her the best dinner she's had for months. Or at least the best dinner we can get for 2 quid. Alec, back already?
Have you sent that check off yet, sir?
Not yet.
Then don't.
Why not? Well, is the bank closed? Oh, it doesn't matter. Give me all that cash. I'll pay it in the morning.
The bank was open. But I'm afraid these notes Mr. Prendergast gave me were...
No!
Yes, I'm afraid so. They were made by...
Don't say it! By a good husband and father!
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Brower, Sally, Julia Lockwood, Mrs. Thursby, Jean Anderson, Mr. Merivale, Dennis Ramsden, Prendergast, James Hayter, Glossop, Harold Berens, Alec Martin Friend, Judge Manning Wilson. Good Husband and Father was written by Henry Cecil and Basil Dawson. The program was produced by Trafford Whitelock.